world.
In this world.
Sarvataha.
Sarvataha.
In all directions.
In all directions.
In all times.
In all times.
And from all angles of vision.
And from all angles of vision.
Translation and purport by Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or to worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Before. One may ask, one is certainly very attached to family life. But if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? This is not a valid objection. The Lord asserts in Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Sarva yonishu kaunteya mutayaha sambhavanti ya tasam brahma mahabhyonir aham bija pradapita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Narayan is the seed-giving father of all living entities because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, Mama Evam Sajiva Bhuta. And there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and son. There is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. Svalpa apyasya paramasya trayate mahato maya. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayan is always ready to save one from the greatest danger. The definite example is Ajamil. Ajamil separated himself from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing many sinful activities and was condemned by Yamaraj to be very severely punished. But because at the time of death he chanted the name of Narayan, although he was calling not for the Supreme Lord Narayan, but for his son, named Narayan, he was saved from the hands of Yamaraj. Therefore, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. Pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It is very easy. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful, whereas one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. The simple endeavor involved in the devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed his blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtana. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Again, the verse reads, Nahi achutam priniyato bahvasayo suratmaja atmatvat sarvabhutanam siddhatvat iha sarvabhutanam. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of God in Narayan is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of God is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. 만큼 그렇게 맞추면 번겁는 아이 대그림의 비표들 한번 내쉬기를 위해서 So, Triple R Maharaj's use of this term, Asura Atmaja, he's addressing his friends. You're the sons of demons, but don't worry, you can also become Krishna conscious. This is a very significant statement. And he goes on to explain that because the Lord, Narayan, Krishna, who is the super soul dwelling in everyone's heart, because he is the father of all living entities, as confirmed in the purport, Srila Prabhupada cites Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, verse 4. Sarva Yonishu, Kaunteya. Sarva Yonishu means from all wombs, from all species. Those living entities are coming out from any of the 8,400,000 species. Ahambija Pradapita. I am their actual seed-giving father. So that means that there is a very intimate tie that is already established. It is already there. Not that it has to be dug up like they do with archaeological expeditions, trying to trace out their roots to some ancient forefathers rooting into caves and sniffing old bases and so on. It's already there. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj is simply encouraging these sons of demons that yes, you can become Krishna conscious, even though you're sons of demons, and even though there also mentioned is the impediment of your being very young. At this time, Prahlad Maharaj is what, 5 or 7 years old, and at that age, boys and girls, their tendency is to not be very serious about life, to simply waste their time playing. And so that might have also been an objection. Prahlad, we're so young. Let us grow up a little bit, and then we can understand better what is the purpose of life. But now, we're just kids. What can we know about these high things you're speaking of? But Sri Prahlad Maharaj said, no, don't take that as an obstruction either. You're just here. This is the point. Just here. Just hear my words, whether you understand them or not. And your relationship, your eternal tie with the Supreme Lord, will be very quickly uncovered. That is also the point. The Shikshashtakam has been mentioned in the purport, Chetu Darpana Marjana. One just has to clean the mirror of the heart and the mirror of the mind. When that mirror of our consciousness is purified, when the dust that is accumulated is washed away, then, and just like everyone knows, when you go before the mirror, is it any endeavor to see yourself in the mirror? You have to do anything, you have to practice. Meditative. No, immediately, if the mirror is clean, you can see yourself. So this is the point. If the heart is clean, then reflected in the consciousness, chaita means the consciousness, so reflected in the pure consciousness, one can see oneself, one's actual spiritual self, and the super self, there together. So, there's a very wonderful story, one of my favorite stories of our Vaishnava Sampradaya. This is from the early part of our Sampradaya. The Sampradaya is Ramamadva Gaudiya Sampradaya. There are, you can say, two divisions of it. So in South India, from Udipi, is the Ramamadva part, starting with Sri Madhvacharya. And then, later, with Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, then the Gaudiya installment, Gaudiya part begins. So in the earlier part, of our Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva, sometimes called Tattvavadi Sampradaya. There is a wonderful story of, it begins with a prince who had just gotten married. His name was Danda. Dandapanta, I think. Yes, Dandapanta. At that time, this was his name. So he was a young man, in his teens, and he had just gotten married to a very beautiful princess. And so he was on a ride with his personal troop of soldiers. He was dressed in his breastplate and helmet, and he was adorned with ornaments and jewels and looking very splendid. And all around him were his fierce compatriots, armed to the teeth. And they were riding through the province, through their because the father was the king, he was the prince, so they're just riding in the heat of the day through their father's kingdom, his father's kingdom. And because it was so very hot, they approached one river to take a drink. So the soldiers all dismounted, as is normal. When one wants to take a drink, if one's riding a horse, one should dismount. The horses water themselves, and the rider will go to the river and scoop up some water in the hand and drink. But Prince Dandapanta, since he was very young, he had a very unique way of taking water. And on this day, he demonstrated it. He rode into the river with his horse until he was about waist deep. And then he just leaned over, stretched out his neck, and began to drink with his lips from the surface of the water, not taking any in his hand. So now the soldiers, because they're accustomed to the prince's behavior, they didn't pay any mind to this. But across on the other side of the river, there was a great Vaishnava named Akshobhya Tirtha. He's actually a disciple of one of the eight original important disciples of Sri Madhvacharya. So Akshobhya Tirtha was sitting on the other side of the river, Vaishnava Sannyasi, and he was observing all this. So then he spoke aloud to Prince Dandapant. "My dear prince, you're taking water just like a bullock." And when Prince Dandapant heard this, his whole mind, his whole consciousness was transformed suddenly. In an instant, he remembered his previous birth. His previous birth, his previous life, was as a bullock. He was a bull. But a most fortunate bull, in that he was the bull that Sri Madhvacharya had engaged in transporting his great library of books. Because Madhvacharya, in defeating the Mayavadis, would refer to all sorts of Vedic scriptures which he had collected, which were actually unknown to the Mayavadis. And so in the course of debate, he would quote a shastra, and the Mayavadi opponent would say, "What kind of shastra is that?" And then Madhvacharya would call, "Bring it! Bring it from the cart, from the traveling library," and it would be shown. This is a bona fide Vedic shastra. Actually, the Mayavadis, they became so envious of Madhvacharya that once they stole that wagon load of books, but it was returned to him by a king. So this wagon, this cart, was pulled by a bullock. And this bull, of course, so fortunate, although a dumb animal, to be engaged in the service of the Paundaracharya of our Sampradaya in this age of Kali. Moreover, the bull had a very special quality, that when Madhvacharya would begin to lecture. Of course, otherwise, being a bull, he would be doing normal bull things, chewing on grass or whatever. But as soon
And Sri Padmadvacharya would begin to speak, the bull's head would come up and the ears would go up. The bull would listen very contentedly to the whole lecture. Once Madhvacharya, because as we know from our experience in ISKCON, it is confirmed actually that as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said, that the best cure for insomnia is Srimad Bhagavatam class. So often seen in the Bhagavatam class, it's called Dayabhamar Shravanam, Dayabhamar hearing. There's also Dayabhamar Japa. So some are hearing like that too. So apparently, Sri Padmadvacharya, he observed something like that in some of his disciples, his listeners. At least he noticed that they were sometimes not so attentive. I don't know if they were actually nodding off, going to sleep in the class, but at least he noticed that they're sometimes not so attentive. So he once said, he once became a little sharp about this, and he said, "That bull listens to my lectures better than you." And even some of his, because his disciples were all Brahmins, from caste Brahmana families, so some of them were a little arrogant. And they thought, "What is this? This bull is being praised as being a better disciple than me." So, in their arrogance, some of these Brahmin disciples, they actually cursed the bull. "May this bull die." But because this bull had received the blessing of Sri Padmadvacharya, therefore, when that curse manifested in the form of a cobra, which bit the bull, the cobra died. So after that, all the disciples became much more respectful. So then later, some years later, that bull died of natural causes and took birth again as Prince Dandopant. And so the prince grew up as boys in Kshatriya families do. They have a certain dharma they must follow, which requires them to accept, they're required to, when they reach teen years, before age 16, they must be married. And of course, because they're of royal lineage, very aristocratic, then the young men, they marry very beautiful. The Kshatriya ladies are extremely beautiful. And because they're wealthy, then there's full facility for enjoying household life, great pomp and splendor. And that the Kshatriya must accept. There's no question of a young Kshatriya saying, no, I'm not interested, I want to be Brahmachari. For Kshatriyas, they can be Brahmachari up till age 16, then they must be married. Then later in life, they can take Vanaprastha after they have a son, and the son is old enough to inherit the kingdom. Then they can take Vanaprastha and retire to the forest. So, this was the fate of Prince Dandopant. He had just gotten married. But when he heard these words, and this is amazing, that he simply, all he heard from the lotus lips of Sri Akshoga Tirtha was this sort of jocular remark that, "My dear prince, you drink water like a bullock." And this awoke him to Krishna consciousness. He remembered his past life as a bullock. And moreover, he remembered those lectures that he'd heard as a bullock. Madhvacharya lecturing on Krishna consciousness, the complete tattva of truth of the Vedic scriptures, it all manifested within him. And he understood that I am so fortunate now, by my past association with Madhvacharya, by his blessing, that I have gotten not only this human birth, just like in that song by Govinda Das, Dulab Manava Janama, the human birth is very rare. But moreover, satsanga is even more rare. And I have got both in one stroke. The human body, and now the association of a pure disciple of the founder Acharya of this Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So Prince Dandopant, he immediately crossed the river and he fell at the lotus feet of Sri Akshobhacharita. And he was begging him in all humility, please accept me as your disciple. I cannot leave your lotus feet. I have, by your mercy, by comparing my drinking to that of a bullock, now I understand the full purpose of my life. I must receive the shelter of your lotus feet. Please don't kick me away. So then the soldiers, they came across too, and they were speaking with the prince. Dear prince, you've just got married. You've got to go home. What will your father say? He is the king. But the prince would not leave. He could not be budged in his determination. So the soldiers returned to the palace and informed the father. And the father came out with the whole royal retinue. Big, big troop of soldiers, flags flying. And the father came there. And the father was angry. Now we have that experience also. Angry father coming to collect their sons. And Akshobhyatirtha, because he, as it is said, discretion is the better part of valor. So Akshobhyatirtha, he indicated to Dandapant, you better go home with your father. Don't make trouble for the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prince Dandapant went home with the father, but the father could see, my boy has been completely transformed. He's no longer himself. He was in a trance, and he was just not responding. He was completely oblivious now to all the opulence and the power that is associated with being in the royal family. He didn't care for it. The father could see this. So when the prince arrived back home, the father said, now you please take your bath, put on clean clothes. And so while his son was doing that, the father went to his daughter-in-law, the prince's beautiful wife, and said, you're a woman, you know what to do. You've got to bring my boy back down to reality. Get his feet back on the ground. And so she said, yes, my dear father, I'll do that. So the prince had bathed and dressed and was in his quarters, and he was just sitting. He was sitting on the couch, and he was simply thinking of Akshobhyatirtha. We've heard in the purport that the Lord is in the heart. And whatever material obstruction there may be, whatever difficulty there may be on the material platform for a devotee, by the blessing of the Lord, it will be overcome. And the example was given by Srila Prabhupada of Ajamiya. He was a confirmed sinner, no doubt. No doubt, so much so that the Yamadutas, they appeared, and the Yamadutas were very, I mean, this was just business as usual for them. Here's a sinner, let's take him. But because Ajamil spoke the name of Narayan, calling his son, therefore the Vishnu Dutas appeared and stopped the Yama Dutas from claiming him. So here in this story of Prince Dandapant, also a most wonderful thing happened. That suddenly, from out of his heart, Lord Shesh appeared. Because Super Soul means Vishnu, and also Ananta Shesh. Ananta Shesh is the self-same, all-pervading Super Soul. So Lord Ananta, he manifested himself. The form of Lord Ananta completely covered the form of Prince Dandapant. this young girl was coming, approaching her husband. Suddenly she looked and there was a huge snake sitting on the divan. And the snake was, its heads were moving back and forth, very mystical, as a nun shakes its head too. And the girl seeing this, she could, first of all, because she was pious, she could understand that this is a divine manifestation. So she immediately offered her obeisances. And then she looked up again and she just saw this huge, tremendous snake, tremendous serpent. And heads bedecked with jewels, and the eyes were gazing at her, glittering. And then she, seeing this, she became overwhelmed. And she ran out screaming and fainted. So the father, king, had been standing by just outside because he was expecting something may happen. And when he saw his new young daughter-in-law run out and faint, then he looked in. And just as he looked in, he could see the form of Nantishesh fading away, and the form of his son again becoming visible. And then he understood. There's no hope. If Anantashesh himself is coming to protect my son from illusion, what can I do? So he had permitted his son to go back to Sri Akshobhi Tirtha. And so this prince, Dandupant, became Akshobhi Tirtha's disciple and studied under him and took sannyas. And when he received sannyas, he received the name of Sri Jayatirtha, who was one of the great acharyas in our sampradaya. So this is one of my personal favorite Vaishnava leelas. And it seems to so nicely illustrate the point being made in this verse in purport. By Sri Pulad Maharaj and Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions? No? Going, gone. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.